So I've just been doing the math and I can officially confirm we've reached day 7 of the IIHF World Championship. That's officially 1 week of all you listeners here on the Totally Ice Hockey Show putting up with Lucas Aykroyd and Caroline Schved. Lucas, how has day 7 been for you so far?
A whirlwind, like always, but lots of fun.
Okay, so now, as always, I gotta start off with a hard-hitting question. Hockey never goes out of fashion, but do you ever hold on to some of your shirts a little longer than you should?
We're doing this again? It's my fashion choices again? Well, okay, if you want to go there, I would say I'm a master of vintage couture. Take, for example, my 1991 Van Halen t-shirt. Saw him with Sammy Hagar on lead vocals here in Vancouver with Alice in Chains opening. Now, that shirt cost me $40 back in 91, but I can only imagine the value today with inflation. It still fits, too.
Okay, so wait, is your IIHF shirt today from the 90s or 80s?
Oh, neither, smarty pants. I mean, Caroline. It's a classic light blue golf shirt from the 2017 IIHF World Championship. The logo features the late German goalie Robert Müller, who was a two-time DEL champion. And of course, a big selling point for you in 2017, one of the huge heroes for Sweden was tournament MVP William Nylander. I know you, Caroline, are loving the fact that he's an early Conn Smythe Trophy favorite with the Leafs this year. Myself, in 2017, I was loving the official tournament mascots, Asterix and Obelix, because I grew up reading their French comic books. I even wrote a 17-part series for the official website that year comparing Asterix's adventures to famous moments in international hockey.
Okay, so before I get to everything you just said, I'd love to just, you know, give you a high five through the screen for giving Willie Nylander a massive shout out. He's been a star for the Leafs this year in the playoffs, but I don't want to jinx him, so that's all I'm going to say. Now, going back to what you were saying, Lucas, that sounds pretty weird.
It was a weird series. You got me there. But as a writer, you've got to love the opportunity to write leads like, in Asterix and Cleopatra, the Egyptian queen beats the odds to build a palace. In women's hockey, there were monumental achievements in the 1990s, and so on. You know, building out those metaphors. Good times.
Only you. We appreciate you. Well, today, in a world where Spiky the Hedgehog is the mascot of choice, we had more teams laying the foundation for a possible run at gold. So let's go down to all the important scores. Go ahead.
Switzerland 8, Slovakia 1. What a blowout, and what a bounce back for the Swiss. It was USA 4, Latvia 2, Czech Republic also 4, Sweden also 2. Huge third period comeback for the Czechs. And finally, Finland 3, Italy 0.
Shall we move on to the game of the day? Because I feel like this is a big one.
A huge one.
And it's got to be that rematch of the 2006 final between the Swedes and the Czechs that we talked about yesterday, but with a very different result.
Oh, yeah. Can you say night and day? I mean, coming in, we were looking at two traditional powers turned cellar dwellers. But the Swedes look like they're finally turning their ship around after sinking Switzerland. Even after losing Zug star Carl Klingberg and top young defenseman Nils Lundqvist to injury, they settle things down against the Czech Republic at first, right? They get that 2-0 first period lead, Rickard Rakell potting his first of these worlds on the power play, and in net, Adam Raideborn had a shutout going through 40 minutes. Classic Trey Kroner template for success. But then, Oscar Lindberg's double minor for some rough stuff at the end of the second proves to be costly. And we see in the third, the big Czech guns cashing in. You've got Jakub Brana on the power play, Captain Jan Kovacs with the PP equalizer. And then, here's turnabout. Kovacs sets up Lukas Klok, the man who was in the penalty box when Sweden opened the scoring. And the Czechs, they've got this lead that they would never relinquish. Klaus Dahlbeck said after the game, we were, you know, chasing the game again. So Sweden has just shot itself in the foot, and they can't afford to do that anymore going forward.
All right, switching gears, how about those Swiss rebounding from their big loss to Sweden to pound Slovakia 8-1?
Caroline, you know how powerful traumatic events in our childhood can sometimes shape our future? The first big international hockey game I remember is the Soviets beating Canada 8-1 in the 1981 Canada Cup final. So that particular score, 8-1, always makes me prick up my ears. Here, the Swiss lived up to their reputation as a nation of efficient watchmakers. They scored 8 goals on just 28 shots. That's a 28.5 shooting percentage. I mean, that's insane. Also converting 5 times on the power play, very similar to their opening win over the Czechs. Gregory Hoffman stepping up, leading scorer today with 2 goals and 2 assists. Now, Caroline, you remember yesterday we said this might be time for Slovakia's perfect bubble to burst, right?
Yes.
Well, they did it to themselves with bad penalties. Even if the Swiss weren't a gang of merciless power play assassins, it's really hard to win hockey games when you take not one, but 2 5-minute majors in game misconducts. I mean, that's just bad practice. One of those incidents was for Christian Pospisil's high hit on Swiss national team legend Andre Zambul. Fortunately, he was fine. The longtime Davos captain today made history as with his 111th career World Championship game, he passes Soviet great Alexander Maltsev for 2nd place on the all-time games played list. Germany's Udo Kiesling still number 1 with 119. And Swiss coach Patrick Fischer paid tribute to Zambul after the game. Have a listen.
I played with him in Davos when he was 16. He came into the club, and he's been great. He was there already great, and now he's still great. And he's just a super person, a great character. Loves the hockey game. When we practice, he's always the first guy out, and he loves to play with the puck and works hard. He's an example, and he's just an amazing athlete.
Lucas, hockey is such an intense, competitive game, a game that we all love, but it's really nice when you hear these guys taking the time to also reflect and praise their teammates.
That's right, Caroline, and we got more of that from the USA-Latvia showdown. We said going in, Latvia needed to limit the Americans offensively because the host team would probably only get 2 or 3 goals. Well, for the Americans, 36-year-old Brian Boyle and 18-year-old Matty Beniers step up together and help to spoil the party in Riga. Boyle giving the U.S. the 2-1 lead in the first, sending one over the glove of Latvian goalie Matis Kivlenieks. As IIHF.com's Andrew Podnieks notes in his recap, it was Boyle's first goal of the tournament, in his first tournament representing his country, and the first since he last played an NHL game in August 2020. I mean, that's a heck of a layoff, even if you're working out and doing everything you can. Meanwhile, we've got Beniers, a top prospect for the 2021 NHL draft, another product of the world-famous USA Hockey National Team Development Program. In the third, Beniers jumps out front from behind the net and stuffs it in for his first in a Stars and Stripes uniform to make it 4-2. So I guess it's kind of age before beauty or whatever they say. Big 3 points for the States.
Absolutely. And I love what Boyle said about Beniers afterwards. Let me read you guys this quote. Matty, he's a high character kid at a young age. He puts the work in and gets better. That's the generation of players now. They want to make an impact at a young age and continue to do that. We've got a lot of that in the room. And that's an awesome quote and a very promising quote at that.
Absolutely. And then you turn to Latvia. They didn't really play a bad game. I mean, they outshot the U.S. 8-3 in the third. They just need to be ready to go and score a few more goals in their next game versus Norway.
We will see what happens. But first, let's recap Finland and Italy.
Well, this one played out almost exactly how you'd expect. Except maybe for Toni Sund, the 25-year-old Finnish journeyman defenseman. 0 goals for Dynamo Riga this season, okay? And also 0 with Davos in 8 regular season and playoff games combined. So not a lot of offensive output. But then he busts out with 2 goals against Italy, with IIHF.com's Andy Potts referring to Sund's big shot as a Sunderbolt. Nice, Andy. The Finns controlled this game, and it was a pretty easy night for goalie Harri Sateri with the shots favoring Finland 36-11. For Italy, nice to see Alex Trivelato back in the lineup as one of the guys fighting his way back from COVID-19. And on the much lighter side, I learned today that Italy's Daniel Frank, a 24-year-old Bolzano winger, owns his own ice cream shop. That's fun. So In a way, I'd say every day is a win in the Frank household, especially if it involves mint chocolate chip.
Two things. One, I do not like ice cream. I might be a part of the 5% of the world who doesn't. Two, the weird craving that I have for ice cream, it would never in a million years be mint chocolate chip, because you might as well take a vanilla scoop, take your toothpaste, swirl it on, mix it up, and then that makes mint chocolate chip.
I got no comment on that, except as long as you like ice, that's the main thing. This sport is really heavy on the ice.
People think I'm crazy, but I don't know. I'm more of like a cookie girl. You put a cookie in front of me, I'll never say no.
Okay. I will try that sometime.
Okay. Let's move on, because I'm sure everyone's judging me, and go on to the latest edition of On This Day in IIHF History. So what dramatic moment from a previous world championship do you have ready for us today, Lucas?
Nothing. I got nothing for you, Caroline.
What? Did you do your homework? What do you mean that there's nothing on this day?
Today, Thursday, May 27, 2021, is officially the latest this tournament has ever taken place. We're into uncharted territory now. Like, break out the bathing suits and the Mai Tais.
Oh my goodness, you crack me up. Okay, I guess I shouldn't be shocked after all the surprises we've seen during this tournament, but it feels like hockey, like right now, is pretty much a 12-month sport. Can you give us a quick snapshot of how we got here and how the timing of the tournament evolved?
What? Like, seriously? You want the whole history of the tournament? Or am I writing a book? How long have we got here?
We've got a minute, and I have faith in you that you can do it in 60 seconds.
Oh, man. Okay, first official hockey game in Montreal in 1875. IIHF founded in Paris in 1908. Things start off in 1910 with the first European championship before going global, with Canada and USA joining in 1920 and Japan entering in 1930. All Winter Olympics from 1920 to 1968 count as world championships. Tournament open officially only to amateur players till 1977. Generally speaking, Canada rules the roost from 1920 to 1953, the Soviet Union becomes more dominant from 1954 to 1990, and after that, it's a battle among 5 to 7 great hockey powers. In the 20th century, the tournament's timing is heavily pegged to European league schedules. Played in February in the 30s and 40s, March in the 50s and 60s, April and May in the 70s, 80s, and 90s. First women's world championship in 1990. With the NHL becoming ever more international, the men's world championship schedule runs deeper into May in recent years to enable more NHLers to take part. Also great fun for the fans, because May is a beautiful month to gather in hockey cities across Europe to celebrate the sport we love.
Take a breath, Lucas. You did it in a minute and 7 seconds. And although it wasn't under 60, I'm going to give you massive props, because I probably would be passed out on the ground right now and I'd need water.
Well, you know, Caroline, I know you were speaking with Donovan Bailey just a few days ago. Maybe, you know, you could pass along some tips from Donovan to me to help me just, you know, get that extra jump in my stride. But, you know, I gave it all I could right now. And obviously it feels good.
If that was the 100-meter dash, Lucas, you would have killed it.
Well, thank you.
Fastest podcaster in the world right there, Lucas Aykroyd.
Thank you, thank you. I've always really been more of a 10K guy, but I'll take it in this context.
Do you think you have some breath in you to go over a preview of next day's action?
Sure. Let me just get a towel here, a little bit of Gatorade, and good to go.
Got your electrolytes?
I'm back.
Perfect. Can Great Britain win their second game in a row against a Swedish side that needs to win?
Oh, that's a big maybe. You know, with just 3 points in the standings and only 3 games remaining, Johan Garpenlöv's team is in no position to take anyone lightly. And underestimating Great Britain would be a big mistake, after seeing how they battled and how they hung on to beat Belarus 4-3. First GB win at the Worlds in regulation since 1962. In goal, Big Ben Bounds continuing to play like a hero with his 2.62 goals against average and 92.7 save percentage, so essential. Liam Kirk with 4 goals, Mike Hammond with 2 goals. These guys are providing timely scoring. And Matthew Myers also shining on faceoffs at 64%. I would say, Caroline, that the target for Sweden really should just be to clone the first period that they delivered against both the Czechs and the Swiss, and then do it again in the second and the third, right? Like, get a couple of goals, control the puck, no panic, just don't give the British any reason to believe, because we've seen how dangerous they can be.
Just as easy as that. No big deal. Just clone your first period of hockey and replicate it exactly like that.
I have faith in the Swedish scientists. I don't know what it says in the IIHF regulations about clones, but, just thinking outside the box here.
Okay, let's move on to Kazakhstan in Canada. Obviously, Kazakhstan has been killing it in this tournament. Mm-hmm. The Canadians, not so much, but they did get the monkey off their back against Norway. So my question is do the Canadians have enough in the tank to get another result, or is this Kazakhstan team just too good?
I love how you work the monkey in there, Caroline. I'm not going to go down that road again, but I will say that
I want another animal story from your travel days and chimpanzees and orangutans and baboons and whatever else happened.
Tomorrow. But right now, let's focus on Canada. Building on the positive momentum they generated with the 4-2 win over Norway. That's the key, right? There was a scary little moment in that game where the Norwegians, against the flow of the play, managed to tie it up at 2-2 with a pair of quick goals. But that, really was the only major lapse for coach Gerard Gallant's boys trying to claw their way back into the quarterfinal picture. Special teams for Canada, still an area of concern, right? They're only converting at 6.25% on the power play. That's 1 for 16. And Kazakhstan's penalty kill is right up there near the top of the rankings. So anyway, we know Gabe Vilardi is not taking this challenge lightly, keeping a positive mindset heading into Friday's game, as you found out, Caroline, while chatting with him earlier today.
I mean, you look at it and they've been playing together for a long time. They've been doing exhibition games and they've been together and we've been together for a week now. I mean, it's crazy, or 2 weeks, whatever it's been since we've been here. So, I mean, it's these teams are better than a lot of people give them credit for. And they're going to be a good matchup tomorrow. And like I said, we need to come prepared and make sure we win this game.
Yeah, talk to me about that from an athlete's perspective, because a lot of these teams did have, camps prior to the World Championships. And, Team Canada and Team USA, I believe, really just met on the plane. And not only like your on-ice chemistry, but even off-the-ice chemistry that translates onto the ice, it's not easy to just immediately go into that mindset. So what's that been like for the group, and how have you guys adjusted?
Yeah, for sure. You just said it. In hockey, I mean, in all sports, chemistry, it's not just on ice. It's off the ice too. 100%. You build it with the guys in the locker room and just hanging out and just chatting with guys, and you feel more comfortable, and then that carries onto the ice. Mm-hmm. These other teams, they got the advantage on us in that aspect. But I mean, I think in the time that we've been here, everyone's come together. I mean, like I can say I'm friends with basically everyone on the team. You just talk, and it's really cool. It's a cool experience in that aspect. Because, like I said earlier, you just hanging out with the boys, you get to know them, and you see how everyone, we all play hockey, and we're all pretty pretty nice people, so it's pretty cool off the ice in that aspect. But in terms of the on-ice stuff, it is harder, like you said, just because they've been together for a while.
Meanwhile, for Coach Yuri Mikhailis and Kazakhstan, the goal remains the same. We know the drill, right, Caroline? Keep everything to the outside. Wait, and wait some more. And look for that breakaway, the penalty shot, maybe even the shootout. It's working, right? I mean, 7 points in 4 games thus far. You can't argue with that for a newly promoted team.
You make it sound so easy, Lucas.
It is easy here on the Totally Ice Hockey Show.
Totally Ice Hockey Show. Okay, moving on. We've got Denmark and Belarus, two teams that are pretty close to each other in the standings, and also two teams who have to really leave everything out on the ice.
Oh, yeah. I mean, under different circumstances at this point, these two underdogs might be just offering each other congratulations for both upsetting Sweden earlier. Hey, good work there. Guess we're all avoiding relegation here. Way to go, respected opponents. But instead, we're really looking at a logjam in the battle for that fourth quarterfinal spot in the group. And Denmark and Belarus, these guys are going to fight it out. Against the Russians, you look back, Denmark did manage to keep it scoreless for almost two periods. The problem, though, is they're just not scoring enough themselves. Even though Niklas Jensen remarkably continues to lead these worlds with 7 points. In the four previous meetings between these nations, it's been two wins apiece at the Worlds. So I expect a tight game. It could boil down to the goalie duel between Sebastian Dom and Belarus's Danny Taylor.
And for our last preview of the day, we've got our host nation, the lovable Latvians versus Norway. Take it away, my friend.
Well, long before all the insanity we've witnessed in Riga, Caroline, you know coaches Bob Hartley and Petter Thorsson had this game circled on their calendars as a winnable game and a must-win game. Two pretty evenly matched teams more than halfway through the preliminary round. Get this, Caroline. Both teams have scored 9 goals on 94 shots. Exactly.
Wow.
Yeah, weird, right? However, when it gets to special teams and goaltending, those could be difference makers for Latvia. The Latvians, with the tournament's top PK at 92.3%, leaving the US 0-for-3 with a man advantage today. Also, Latvia has enjoyed superior goaltending, even though we have to acknowledge the nice effort that Henrik Hockland put in that 4-2 loss to Canada. And of course, there's the emotional component, those intangibles. The Latvians, of course, they're harboring that hope that if and when some of their loyal fans are allowed into the building, they could be playing meaningful hockey when that happens. So you put in all those factors, maybe, just maybe it's advantage Latvia. Even one medal round game would mean as much to the folks in Riga as a playoff series win does in Toronto. See, Caroline? See? I'm trying to be respectful of your culture and beliefs, even though you are a Toronto person who lives in Edmonton. Pretty classy of me as a Vancouverite, right?
You're the best, Lucas, and that's right. I'm currently in Edmonton, but I was born and raised in Toronto, so I'm pretty sure I bleed blue and white. I can't say that too loudly because my fiance is home, and if he heard that, you know, biggest Edmonton Oiler fan, he wouldn't be too happy. He's trying to change that, but I said there's no way. No way. All right, Lucas, that's it for the Totally Ice Hockey Show. Thank you so much for listening, everyone, and we'll see you tomorrow.